From the radio ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth. The kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And we need to get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram!
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. Nice one here. It says, be at peace with yourself first, and then you'll be able to bring peace to others. I would, but the voices keep arguing with me. Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'll bet.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, come on. You don't expect us to believe that. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1920, the National Football League was organized as the American Professional Football Association in Canton, Ohio, of all places. Which answers the question, why is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, of all places? And it was on this day in 1961, the world's first retractable roof stadium, the Civic Arena, opened in Pittsburgh. It was demolished in 2011, proving once again that nothing is permanent except for maybe a bad haircut and a career politician.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
We're at the point right now where we're getting more information about this guy, Ryan Wesley Ruth, R-O-U-T-H, Ryan Wesley Ruth. And the more we're finding out about this guy is, the more we're realizing he was a bit of a whack job. Maybe not just a bit of a whack job. Maybe he was a total whack job. If you go by his appearance alone, which none of us should ever do, he's got multicolored hair, nothing outrageous. He's got dark hair on one side of his head, kind of a blondish grayish hair on the other side. And he wears what looks to be about 3 or 4 days growth of beard on his face. 58 years old. He once claimed that he traveled to Ukraine to support the war effort in 2022. And he did that during an interview with... The New York Times, who felt that it was important to profile this guy, not because he was a danger to anyone, but because the New York Times, the lefties at the New York Times, found him to be fascinating. Now, his social media profiles are littered with pro-Ukraine content, and he frequently claimed that he was raising money to recruit U.S. soldiers to fight in Ukraine, as well as defense for other nations like Taiwan and South Korea. And he frequently stated that he was working to recruit former Afghan soldiers for fighting in Ukraine as well. So I guess we got your attention now, don't we? In a 2023 article from the New York Times, they noted that Ruth is a former construction worker from North Carolina who currently resides in Hawaii, matching details from his social media profiles. So I guess what they were doing at the Times, which, you know, is easy to believe because the Times, they're lazy. They're nothing but a propaganda ministry for the left. But the New York Times probably scoured his posts on social media and drew up their profile of him from that. See, that way they didn't have to send a reporter or anything. They didn't have to spend any money, didn't have to get off their asses. So... here you have the New York Times scouring his social media profiles and coming up with a profile on the man. Nuts. So here's how the New York Times reported it. Ryan Ruth, a former construction worker from Greensboro, North Carolina, is seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban. Mr. Ruth, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he planned to move them, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens had expressed interest. We can probably purchase some passports through Pakistan since it's such a corrupt country, Ruth told the outlet. The report noted that it was unclear whether he had succeeded in recruiting foreign troops The one former Afghan soldier confirmed that he was contacted and expressed interest in fighting if he could leave Iran, where he was living illegally. So let me read for you some of the posts. And I don't know where this was. This is not Twitter. But anyhow, it's under the moniker Ryan Ruth. Ignore all these idiots. Pentagon is biggest employer. Plenty help. I need gear and support for 1,000 Afghan soldiers to fight in Ukraine. Bridget Brink supports us. Please help. And then he puts a phone number down there. And also a website, aidinukraine@gmail.com. Okay, that's an email address. We must help Ukraine. 10,000 Afghans. Why Afghans? And here's another one. I am here in Kiev, and I want to use, now they're pronouncing it Kiev, right? So I am here in Kiev, and I want to use Independence Park to create a tent city of all the foreigners here in support to get thousands more foreign civilians to come and support Ukraine. Please call me. And then he gives the phone number again, and we can raise great support and equipment. Another post here, he says, ask Congress to put all American military on paid leave so they can fight as civilians in Ukraine. Tell Congress that you will pay for all weapons, drones, missiles, planes, everything. Give them a blank check so no U.S. responsibility. And then in another message here, again, this is social media, but I'm not sure which platform this is. I am willing to fly to Krakow and go to the border of Ukraine to volunteer and fight and die. Will I be able to cross the border to fight without a visa? Every citizen around the globe should be running to Ukraine to fight. I be the example. We must win. Now, a Semaphore report published from March of 2023 named him as the head of the International Volunteer Center, IVC, in Ukraine. It's supposedly a private organization that works to empower volunteers and other nonprofit groups that work to enhance the distribution of humanitarian aid throughout Ukraine. And that's according to IVC's website. So the would-be assassin also detailed his commitment to the Ukrainian war effort in a 2022 interview with Newsweek. This is Newsweek Romania. Ruth explained that he was working to recruit fighters for the International Legion Defense of Ukraine, a unit of Ukraine's ground forces. Now, here's what he had to say. This guy, Ryan Wesley Ruth, he said, the question as far as why I'm here, to me, a lot of other conflicts are gray, but this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook. You know, any movie we've ever watched, this is definitely evil against good. Ruth also appears to have appeared in a propaganda presentation for the Above Battalion, which is a radical Ukrainian militia with Nazi ties. So yeah, we're talking about a complete whack job here. This guy's just way over the edge. And how do you take what I've just told you here? How do you take that and equate it with an attempt on Donald Trump's life? Is this guy, Ruth, afraid that Donald Trump is going to end the Ukraine war? Is that it? Now, according to a report from the Associated Press, this guy, Ruth, was convicted in 2002 of possessing a weapon of mass destruction. December 2002 report from News and Record in Greensboro, North Carolina, reported that a man with the same name was arrested after a three-hour standoff with law enforcement. And he was reportedly arrested for being in possession of a fully automatic rifle. He was arrested in Martin County, Florida. That's just north of West Palm Beach, shortly after 3 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday. He was unarmed at the time of his arrest and was described as having a calm demeanor by Martin County Sheriff Will Snyder. Investigators recovered an AR-style rifle fitted with a scope from the scene, and it's believed that Ruth aimed his weapon through a hole in the chain-link fence around the edges of the course. He was spotted by a Secret Service advance team positioned ahead of the president on the golf course, and at that point, At least one agent opened fire, forcing Ruth to cheese it, to get the hell out of there. And Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw told reporters that the would-be assassin was located roughly 300 yards from President Trump. And investigators also recovered two backpacks from the scene, as well as a GoPro camera aimed at his would-be target zone. And I wonder now, at this point, how much more information are we going to get on this guy? But apparently, at this point, it's safe to, assume. I try not to assume anything, but I guess it's safe to presume. Let's use that word instead. Safe to presume that he has no connection to the Democrat Party at this point. Although he was found to have a lot of Democrat-leaning comments in his social media posts. I have something here that's very interesting about this guy, Ryan Wesley Ruth. Again, he's 58 years old, claims to be from Hawaii. And it says here, Federal Election Commission records show that he made 19 donations to Democrat campaigns and organizations through Act Blue, which is the Democrat Party's primary fundraising platform. And these donations, which began during the 2020 election cycle, amount to a total of $144.40. Not a fortune. The largest single contribution was $25 to Beto O'Rourke, Beto for America. Now, that was a political action committee supporting O'Rourke's very unsuccessful presidential bid. I mean, you know, Beto O'Rourke is an idiot. He really is. I don't mean that as just a demeaning term. He's really an idiot. The guy can't construct a complete sentence any better than Kamala Harris can. I think Kamala Harris is 10 times more brilliant than Beto O'Rourke. O'Rourke is a mouth breather. He's just an idiot. But other Democratic candidates who received donations from this guy, Ruth, include Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang, Tulsi Gabbard, and Tom Steyer. Now, Ruth's small but numerous contributions have shed light on his political leanings, which provide some context for his motivations, I guess. His financial support for Democrat candidates, coupled with his social media stuff, has garnered some attention across the political spectrum as more details about his activities emerge. And there'll be more to come. But this is only going to be a hot topic for just another week at the most, because the mainstream media is going to want to drop this topic. They don't want to report on this guy. But his online behaviors also raised some concerns. Social media accounts linked to him have been hidden by platforms following his arrest, but not before users managed to archive several of his posts. Couple of which I just read to you in the previous segment, and some of these posts included disturbing political commentary, which Donald Trump Jr. highlighted on Sunday, tweeting, "Sounds like this psychopath spends a lot of time watching left-wing propaganda." Well, here's one from Donald Trump Jr. He says, "Sounds like this psychopath spends a lot of time watching left-wing propaganda," and then below that he posts, Donald Trump Jr. posted one of Ryan Ruth's posts, and this is what Ruth wrote. "Tulsi Gabbard, you are an idiot. Why don't you go and join Putin and Trump and be their third leg? Please leave my Hawaii. You embarrass me. Shut your stupid mouth. This is a war where people are getting slaughtered for no reason. I am going to fight and die for Ukraine." I'd like to know why this guy, Ryan Wesley Ruth, you know, he's a whack job when they have to use all three names, right? But this guy, Ryan Wesley Ruth, is a real whack job because he's got this fetish for Ukraine. What is the deal? Anyhow, he was an outspoken supporter of Ukraine in several media, social media posts. And reports are suggesting that he traveled internationally to recruit volunteers. Well, we told you about that in the first segment. Further investigation revealed that Ruth displayed a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on the back of a pickup truck parked at his home in Hawaii. Well, there's no crime in that. Well, maybe there should be, but according to the New York Post, there again is a publication I trust. Ruth frequently posted about his political views online, offering advice to Joe Biden during the 2024 re-election campaign. In an April 22nd post on X, Ruth urged Biden to focus his campaign on keeping America democratic and free. In other posts, he made inflammatory comments about Trump, claiming the former president wanted to make Americans slaves against the master. Whatever that means. As the investigation into Ruth continues, authorities are working to piece together more information about his background and the motivations behind the attempted assassination. And from that point forward in this article is just a lot of blah, blah, blah. Redundancy. And I don't relish in that. But here you go. This shows you where his political leanings are. Not that they're sound or anything. And quite frankly, I think anybody whose political leanings are pro-Democrat to the point of being almost obsessive, there you're dealing in real mental illness. Sometimes the behavior of our government is almost knee-slappingly funny. RFK Jr. said Saturday he's being investigated over a decades-old story that he decapitated a whale and transported its skull across state lines. Now, this rumor first surfaced a couple of weeks ago, but now it's seeming to grow legs. Kennedy made the admission during a campaign event for President Trump, saying that he'd received a letter last week. Now, the report comes weeks after a left-wing environment group resurfaced the whale story and called for an investigation. Oh, my goodness. So Kennedy said Saturday, he says, I received a letter from the National Marine Fisheries Institute saying that they were investigating me for collecting a whale specimen 20 years ago. This is all about the weaponization of our government against political opponents. And do you know, I actually believe him. In this case. Now, they say here that Kennedy did not offer details about the incident, but it first became public thanks to a 2012 interview with Kennedy's daughter, Kick Kennedy, with Town and Country magazine. In the interview, Kick describes her father cutting the head off a dead whale and strapping it to the roof of their vehicle before driving from a beach in Massachusetts to Mount Kisco, New York. Now, here's the New York Times take on it. That one that I just read you, that was from Fox News. This one's from the New York Times. At his first major campaign event for former President Donald J. Trump, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. told a crowd on Saturday night that he was being investigated for his handling of a whale carcass decades ago. Mr. Kennedy, who endorsed Mr. Trump last month after ending his own independent run for the presidency, said at the event in Glendale, Arizona, that he had received a letter from the National Fisheries Institute, saying they were investigating me for collecting a whale specimen 20 years ago. He suggested that the inquiry was politically motivated and said that he believed he was protected by the statute of limitations. Now, the whale episode surfaced over the summer after Mr. Kennedy acknowledged that he had left a dead bear cub in Central Park in 2014 as a prank. That drew attention to a 2012 Town and Country article in which his daughter, Kick Kennedy, said that Mr. Kennedy had once chainsawed the head off a dead whale on the shore of Hyannisport, Massachusetts, and made the five-hour drive to their home in Mount Kisco, New York, with it affixed to the roof of a minivan. And there the story lies. Okay, so did he or did he not do this? And if he did do it, what is the big deal? The whale was dead. If the feds want to investigate somebody, why don't they start with Hakeem Jeffries? He's the House Minority Leader. He's from New York, Democrat. And he took to X on Sunday, not an hour after the second attempt on Trump's life, to decry what he called extreme MAGA Republicans, adding, "We must stop them." Now imagine that. An hour after Donald Trump's life was threatened again. So here's how the X post washed out. It says extreme MAGA Republicans are the party of a national abortion ban and Trump's Project 2025. As from Hakeem Jeffries. Now, Trump has made it clear on a number of occasions, as well as many other people in the Trump camp, that Donald Trump has nothing to do with Project 2025, and yet the damned lying Democrats, the corrupt Democrats, the immoral Democrats, the evil Democrats, continue to perpetuate that lie. But Jeffries says, we must stop them. So he expressed these sentiments and announced that in the same breath that President Trump was safe. Trump campaign communications director Steve Chung, in an statement, he said President Trump's safe following gunshots in his vicinity. No further details at this time. But again, here you have who's obviously a radical leftist. Hakeem Jeffries has made other statements in the past that really should lump him in with the squad. I mean, the very fact that we have people like AOC and Alyssa Presley and Rashida Tlaib and many others, the fact that we even have them as representatives should be a warning sign to every American that you must be involved in the election process. Because if you take an apathetic stance and refuse to show up for elections, that just leaves the door open for these radicals. And these radicals get elected because they're representing an area, a hotbed of low information voters. People that just get up, they go to their job, they work their work, they go home, they have their dinner, they watch a little TV, they go to bed, and they really don't pay attention to what's going on in the world around them. And we end up with radicals inside our Capitol building voting on issues that affect people like you and me. Now, I'd love to give you more information about this guy, Hakeem Jeffries, and his vile statement that he made on X. But again, that's his right. It's his right as an American citizen. He's protected under the First Amendment. And I, for one, am a firm believer in the First and Second Amendments. So I'm not lashing out at that at all. I'm lashing out at this guy, this immoral, evil sack of crap, Hakeem Jeffries, because that's what he is. Hakeem Jeffries is a sack of crap, and somehow he got elected. And now he's the House Minority Leader. Thank God he's a minority leader. This is more of an FYI than anything else, but figures including a senior UK government spokesman. Well, that would be Trump ally Nigel Farage. I like him. And former British Prime Minister Liz Truss have expressed thanks that President Trump is uninjured after Sunday's attempt on his life. And of course, all of this coming just over 8 weeks after Trump narrowly survived that July 13th attempt on his life. So responding to the incident on Sunday, former Prime Minister Liz Truss said, thank God Donald Trump is safe, but what is happening in the U.S.? Indeed, Ms. Truss, what is happening in the U.S. is what happens when the mainstream media engages in inflammatory rhetoric on the air 24/7. A constant barrage of orange man bad, orange man equals Hitler. That's how this sort of thing happens, Ms. Truss. Wake up and smell the tea. And, of course, she urged, these attempts to subvert democracy must be stopped. Well, we're trying. We're trying, but the mainstream media doesn't listen to us. You know, social media is one thing, but the mainstream media constantly pounding that drum. Orange man equals Hitler. What do you expect? Now, I'm not an advocate for censorship, no more than I am an advocate for doing away with the First or Second Amendments. You know, I'm very much against censorship. But there is a thing called responsibility. You know, when I got my first FCC license back in the early 1960s as a pimple-faced DJ, we were told that to hold a license by the owner of a radio station was, this was called a public trust. You were there to serve the community in which you had your radio station, serve the community where you did business. And you had a responsibility against using profanity on the air. That was not allowed. In fact, you were heavily fined back in those days. A lot of that stuff doesn't exist anymore. But this whole idea about being a trustee of the public in order to hold your FCC license to own and operate a radio station, this was a big deal when I started as a 13-year-old DJ learning the radio business. I had a third-class license. And it was made abundantly clear that we had a responsibility on the air. Well, these responsibilities that were expected of us back in the 1960s have since been trashed. And now, when you listen to the rhetoric that they have, for instance, constantly on MSNBC, my God, these people sound like a bunch of college students from a college radio station in Berkeley in 1967. This is ridiculous. The constant drumbeat of Orange Man equals Hitler. Now, the UK Home Secretary, the government post rolling together the nation's Interior Minister and Homeland Security, Yvette Cooper, also responded yesterday morning, and saying on television that it's appalling to see political violence taking place and asserting that political violence has no place in a democracy. Well, I couldn't agree more. But when we say the United States of America is turning into a third world nation, we are turning into a banana republic. Well, it is true. That is exactly what's happening to this country. And you can point your fingers directly at the left, i.e. the Democrats. And what's been happening with the Biden-Harris administration, the weaponization of the DOJ against any conservatives, not just Donald Trump. They're out to get conservatives, period. This constant drumbeat also of we've got to wipe out MAGA. MAGA is the greatest threat against democracy, which, of course, is bullcorn. This has got to be stopped. To the Comedy Corner with Brent Blakeney.
I feel like I'm really blessed to do comedy. You know, I'm blessed that this is my job. Because before I got to travel the country as a full-time comedian, tell you guys this, I was a substitute teacher. Wow, I feel like all those responses were correct. Some of you are like, that's really noble, and some of you looked at me like, you make bad decisions. But it's crazy, I had to get out of there. It's crazy, the job is insane. Being a substitute teacher in a public school today is the closest thing we have in modern society to the Old West. It is frontier justice in these schools sometimes. And they don't care about you. Schools don't care. You walk into a new school, they're like, oh my goodness, thank you for coming. Who are you here for? Marcus Smith, okay, three hallways down, second door on the left. Godspeed. Godspeed. I'm like, shouldn't you tell me have a good day? No. You're gonna need it. And it was. I saw the craziest things I didn't know. You know, how wild kids were. I had a kid one time turn down a test. I didn't even know you could do that. I just put the paper on his desk, he flipped it over and was like, nah, I'm not doing that. All right, man. It's one way to live your life, I guess. That'll never work anywhere else ever. You know, you're not going to be like, hey, you were doing 85 in a school zone. You're like, I'm not taking that ticket. I'm like, oh, well, have a good day then, sir. Like, that's not. I got threatened by a kid. I had to kick this kid out of class for being disrespectful, right? So I called the assistant principal. She comes to the door. Kid stands up to leave. Right before he walks out of the class, he turns and looks at me and goes, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. And in my head, my first thought was like, dude, you're wearing Crocs. Calm down. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. The assistant principal heard that and just goes, ah, here we go again. I was like, ma'am, real quick, ma'am, what do you mean, here we go again? Did he kill the real teacher? Is that why I'm a substitute? Because I'll be honest with you, this is not worth $72. I will be leaving at lunch, okay?
That's it. Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.